الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العلي العظيم beginning with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the habit of our beloved and illustrious Sheikh Hazmul Abdul Hamid sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just reading about the life of Mulana Raipuri Rahmatullah Ali. Our Akabir, it's necessary for us also to read their life stories. Inshallah, this has a very, very great effect upon a person's ruhaniyat, spiritual life. When you read the stories of our elders, our Akabir, creates love in the heart for them firstly. We realize who they are. So, Hazrat Mulana Raipuri Rahmatullah Ali, just a small introduction to him. He was the Khalifa of Hazrat Mulana Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. Mulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali is Khalifa. And he was a person with a lot of tawakkul, trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, patience, gratitude, contentment, reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had a small madrasa. Till now I haven't been there, but I've heard that the people who went to Raipur, they actually from the trees, they can actually feel the zikr of Allah ta'ala dripping from there. So much of the zikr of Allah ta'ala used to make there. He had about 60-70 students in the madrasa. And they say the madrasa was the example of Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People used to go there. It was just, they say the floor, the carpets were so good, you never need to change the carpets. The carpets was never needed to be repaired. There was never got the holes in the carpet because the carpet was the background. See, so that was the carpet. It was just bamboo sticks and the cover. And if it rains, the water comes through. And 60-70 students staying there. And very hard life also. See, some of them were so small, the parents never wanted to look after them. Parents would send them, some of them were paralyzed. Say, we don't want to look after you, we're too poor, we can't look after you. They send them to the madrasa. When Raipuri Rahmatullah Ali, those students used to accept with greater love and muhabbat. They say, through their barakat, Allah will give us worthy sustenance. Because these are kamzor, the weak ones, Allah will look after us. If rich people came to his madrasa, he never ever would tell them about the madrasa. Because he felt that this is a kind of asking. Nothing wrong to ask for deen also, but it was his level of tawakkul and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He would never ever ask a person, show him around also. So many, many children came to the madrasa. After that, they never want to go back home also. So much of love and affection Hazrat used to show to them. And he used to put the bigger children in charge of the small children. The big children used to hold them by the hand, take them to relieve themselves in the field. On Jumma, they must bath them, look after them, they must teach them how to go to the toilet, they must train them. This is how they had in the madrasa. Classes, after classes, you must go make your own food, your own roti. And some boys have to carry the water, go to the river, fetch the water, carry it to the madrasa. What like sacrifice, and they kept the, because those people came from the Bihar, the villages, so to give them that strength. Raipuri Rahmatullah Ali had a lot of love for Quran Sharif. And at that time in India, it was very like dead, teaching the Quran Sharif. All our maktabs in South Africa, in Gujarat, and all of the days, all through the barakat of Raipuri Rahmatullah Ali. He was a very hidden person, nobody knows his name also. But through his barakat, Allah spread his face throughout the world. So these 70-80 students he had to teach Quran Sharif, and big people came out from them. Abu Hassan Ali Nabi Rahmatullah Ali was one of his khulafa. Big people of the day. Of the Akabir of Tabligh, when Ilyas Rahmatullah used to go there after, whenever he used to go in Jamaat, after spending time in Jamaat, he used to go to the Khanqah of Raipur to cleanse out his heart. I'll go there 3 days, make itikaf there, the barakat of the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he used to go there especially for itikaf. So, anyhow, this was that madrasa which he had there. So, anyhow, I just mentioned this here so we can understand what a buzruf he was, what a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he was. So they mention here that now about him, that his love, one was love for Quran Sharif. They had a student who start Quran Sharif 2.5 hours before Sari. They had that. After Isha, you sleep away straight away. You wake up 2.5 hours before Sari. And then you must start making takrar, going over your sabaks, whatever. You see the mind is the most fresh at that moment. And a person gets in the habit. New students used to come, very hard for them. But within 3-4 days, they also part of the 70 students reading Quran loud, way even asleep. They used to wake up and they used to also get in the habit of it. He himself, tilawat of Quran, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah has mentioned how much he used to eat like nothing at all. 2 cups of tea, half roti, plus his seri iftari was so much. His Ramzan, so much of mujahada. Normally he used to sleep 1 hour a day, day and night. But in Ramzan, even more mujahada he used to make. There was like no sleeping at all. That's what these people were. And the zikr of Allah Ta'ala was his nourishment. He used to get his strength from there. So actually, why I mentioned about this here, his love for sunnat. He had a lot of love for the sunnat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and how he brought it alive in this area. So just before that, he mentioned one point here. Some people are speaking about sunnah and bid'ah. What's the difference between Sunnah and Bidah? So he says that besides academic proofs, you look at the Dalail and proofs, which the ulama will discuss, there is another way for seeing something which is truth and falsehood. And this is for the general people, which is easy for them. He says, Al-jinsu yamiru ila jins. Allah has made such, every species is attracted toward his species. Whether it's a pigeon or the one who rears pigeons. Allah has made a mizaj in everything. So he says, whenever you look at something which is baseless or true, look at the hearts of the people which are inclined towards it. If you see irreligious people, gunegars, sinners, wrongful people, they're inclined towards it, they make a lot of noise, we must bring this, we must have this, it's very, very important. Then you must realize that there's darkness in that action. Because al-jinsu yamiru ila jins. A person will be inclined towards it. Because they've got darkness in their heart, so they will be inclined towards darkness. If there was illumination and light in that act, it wouldn't have attracted the dark hearts. And he says, on the other hand, they would have actually run away from it. But it would have attracted the hearts of the awliya Allah and the sulaha, the pious people. If you see the pious people and the ahlullah going towards an action, and the masses are running away from it, they don't like it too much, then you must realize there's nur in that action, there's illumination in that action. This is because the hearts of those who have light have been attracted towards it, and the dark hearts have sinked away from this. Yeah. So this is one very, very important point. And then, Mulana, the hero of the kitab, Mufti Ashiq Ilahi, he says, one ayat of the Quran Sharif came to my mind when Hazrat mentioned this here, that Al-Khabithatu lil-Khabithin, wal-Khabithuna lil-Khabithat, wal-Tayyibatu lil-Tayyibin, wal-Tayyibuna lil-Tayyibat. That Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that the pure are inclined and attracted towards the pure, and the filth are attracted towards the filthy. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was attracted to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, and he was the most pure. So even Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha is the most pure. People who are accused, Allah Ta'ala sent this ayat to regard this here. So he says, you can see, the pure will be automatically inclined towards the pure, and filth will be inclined towards the filth. So this is one beautiful point he had mentioned, which a person can understand very, very easily, what is sunnah, what is bidah. So anyhow, in his zamana, there was this action of getting married to widows. It was regarded as very, very bad. You mustn't get married to widows. So he himself went to a lot of taklif and difficulty to establish the sunnah. He says there are two ways of establishing the sunnah. One is you tell people, explain to them verbally. But the second way is practically demonstrated. So Mawlana Raipuri Rahmatullah himself, he got married to a widow to bring alive the sunnah. This is just for encouragement for us, Allah give us tawfiq, that we also try to bring alive the sunnahs of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And sometimes in life we'll have to face certain difficulties, obstacles, but we must be steadfast in the day. And through the barakah of that, Allah Ta'ala will sometimes remove all bid'ahs, innovations, etc. So he himself, a lot of criticism, so much so his life was also in danger because of this year. But he was steadfast. Now his son passed away, Abdul Rashid, he had a young son, he went for Hajj with him, and on the way to Medina Munawwara, after Medina Munawwara, when they had finished the Hajj, they were coming back. It's a very long incident, but anyhow, his son passed away. So he did not even show any, like so much of tawakkul, so much of sabr he had at that moment, he never actually showed it outwardly, he did not even show it. But now he decided that, you know what, my son has passed away, I can bring alive the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I'll get my daughter-in-law married. I'll get my daughter-in-law married. She's a widow now, and I'll make sure she gets married. So at least this wrong action against the sunnah will come to an end. So now, one is like your daughter is a different story, but your daughter-in-law, like normally you feel it, many fathers-in-law feel actually that, how can my daughter-in-law get married? They feel it's like actually an insult to them, that she was married to my son and now she's getting married to somebody else. But these people, just the love of sunnah which he had in their heart, that he wanted to bring alive the sunnah. So he says that you have to practically demonstrate it. Then Mawlana writes here, a deep point he mentions here, in order to remove criticisms, he's saying that take any person to read namaz, verbally teach it to him, he won't learn so well. But practically you make him sit next to you and you teach him, very easily he will learn it. So he says, in order to remove criticism against English schools, Western schools, they put Islamic studies in there. No matter what additions are made to the Islamic studies syllabus, it is not beneficial. Because the people who teach verbally, there is no one to teach them through their amal, through their actions. A person can only learn through amal and actions. When you see what other people doing their actions, then you'll be able to do this here. So anyhow, so he says that Mawlana Raipuri Rahmatullah, now he went, this thought came to his heart, that Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam must come alive in the whole world. If the whole world considered it bad to marry widows, but Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam thought it as a natural thing, and most of his wives, all of them, besides Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, were widows. So it caused him a lot of pain when he saw the Muslim people having this abhorrence for this action here. So he himself, many times he spoke about this here, but now he said, no, I have not fulfilled my responsibility. I must practically demonstrate it to the people. So as I mentioned, one thing he did, he got married himself to one lady, but he still wasn't too happy about it. He wanted to show somebody else also. And he did not care for the remarks of the people, what criticism, whatever it was. So he went to his daughter-in-law after her iddat. And he says, till now you are my daughter-in-law. But now you are my daughter. He says, this world is temporary, and every relationship in this world has to break. Whoever is our beloved will have to depart one by one. And we will also have to depart. There's only one being who will never ever separate from us. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's saying, because the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's not even a thousandth part of love in anything else when compared to the amount of sweetness in His love. Whether we live or die, He is never separated from us. It will be to our fortune if the love for others come out of our hearts and is replaced by love for Him. The honor and the grace of this world are insignificant. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu turned away from every single thing to raise the name of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the reward which Allah gave them was that today we take great joy at mentioning their names. Like Maha Raipuri rahmatullahi, we get so much of enjoyment taking His name. Why? They brought alive the sunnah. He said, you should attach your heart to Allah Ta'ala and consider honor. Now imagine you're telling your daughter-in-law, normally women, after the husband passes away, they're not prepared to get married also. Many women feel very hard. Even if people encourage them, they have a lot of attachment for their first wife, a husband. They don't want to just get married. But now look what he's telling her, he's telling his daughter-in-law. That honor, true honor, is honor of the akhirat. This entails becoming dumb and senseless before the Sharia. In the sense that if the entire world considers something to be bad, but the Sharia orders us to do it, then we must do what the Sharia orders us. Because after death, all the people will go in the ground, and they will have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He will ask them, who was more beloved to you, me or your family? That time they will say, how awful, why did I join these people? They only went to me till the grave, and I left my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with me forever and forever. After speaking to her, he thought about a husband for her. He even thought about a suitable husband. And then he called his girl's father, his son's father-in-law, Haji Abdullah Aziz. He was there to him also. He talked to him in privacy. Haji started thinking about this man's son. He was very attached to his son-in-law. He started crying. This was his chef's son, so he started crying. Then he's thinking to himself, but you know what, I'm the father-in-law, this is the father. I'm sitting and crying here, but the father, he's got so much of stubborn and so much of feelings for sunnah. So Hazrat asked him, Hazrat Haji Saab, is it time to cry now or laugh? Allah gave us such a wonderful day. Whether worthless people like us are able to revive a dead sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is a favor of Allah Ta'ala, and we must take a full benefit of it as much as we can. If my son Abdul Rashid was not born, if he passed away before getting married, or he never left behind a widow, how could we get this bounty of bringing alive a sunnah? Whatever we have got now is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have nothing to do in this matter. It is now time to make shukr over this bounty. Now we have to do this here. If we don't do it now, there is nobody more unfortunate than us. Because Allah gave us the opportunity, we didn't take the opportunity of it. And this opportunity doesn't come back. Remember, Allah doesn't need us to revive a dead sunnah. Allah does not need us to revive a dead sunnah. But it is an occasion for you to be proud. Because He chose you to bestow you with the reward of 100 martyrs. So we're not bringing alive a sunnah. Allah is giving us tawfiq and ability to bring alive sunnah. What a great ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. He says, this is a day for me to fulfill the rights of my relationship. I don't want this marriage to be a mere formality, or just superficially. Rather, it must be done like how a person, how happy he is when he's getting married the first time. So much of happiness must be. Normally we see a person gets married the first time, his daughter, he'll have a big thing. She has a divorce, something happens, and they have the second nikah very small, quietly, because nobody must really know about it. Quietly they'll do it. You say, no, this time, yeah, I expect you to support me for the occasion of deen on this occasion, and show what a Muslim must do on this time, yeah. All I'm saying that I've got a certain boy in mind, there's no guarantee of life. And so I want to witness this happy occasion as quickly as possible. So then he sent his daughter-in-law to the father-in-law's house, because he wanted to make a public announcement. And he wanted to make an example of his first marriage. When his son got married, he didn't even go for the wedding. He never even attended it. He just told a few sons, his son must go with a few relatives, because simplicity, in nikah is simplicity. But in this, he had a second nikah, he said, I'll come for it myself also. He was very, very sick and weak, but he made sure he go there, even before time. When the time for the nikah came, he called Abdullah Aziz Khan, the father-in-law, and told him, look here, my heart desires you must invite the entire village and all the people of the surrounding areas. If you have the money, consider the spending to be the price of Jannah, because you'll never get this opportunity again. He was shocked because Hazrat was so particular about the first nikah. He never even allowed anything at all. He never wanted, not one person has been invited, and that's the actual sunnah tariqah. But here he was bringing alive another sunnah. That's why he encouraged, bring everybody. He's asking spend. Actually, he was actually prepared to go take a loan out for this dawah. He said, Hazrat, by Allah, Father, Allah has given me a lot of things. You can invite whoever you want to. I got very, very excited. He said, invite everybody from the surrounding areas. If you've got the means, prepare a sweet meal and a salty meal. Open your heart and feed every one of them. He says, every penny spent on this will be rewarded with 70,000 rewards on the day of Qiyamah. So what the whole world will regard something as grief. Like some people, when they get married, example, one person, they got married. His wife passed away, he got married. But now his wife's family, the day he got married, they all mourning there. Because how could he have got married, whatever. Because there's such foolish customs, and unfortunately our people still got all this jahalat in them, and these are pious people. So he says, yeah, this is what people regard as sorrow for a lover of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, aashiq as-sunnah, this is something of very, very great love. So this in this way, yeah, he brought alive that sunnah, and many, that bid'ah, that custom of not having this nikah, whatever, was completely destroyed after that. Many people after that started getting married to widows. So this is how our qabir, how much of love they have for the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah grant myself first, all of us, tawfiq and ability, wherever we can, whatever way, to bring alive the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether we're telling one person, encouraging somebody, and the more we tell other people, we little as our teaches us, always tell people about Bismillah. So we notice ourselves, we forget. But we on the Dasturkhan, we see other people, we remind them, and we get a tawfiq of reciting it. So in this way, continuously reminding one another, bringing alive the sunnahs, and regard it as Allah has given me this opportunity. Today we see in the world there's so much of darkness, so much of wrong taking place. So it's an opportunity for us. Allah wants to reward us so greatly. Allah is giving us tawfiq, Allah is giving us the opportunity. And we only got one life. If we don't take full advantage of it, opportunity of it, we are the only losers. May Allah grant myself first and all of us the tawfiq to bring alive every single in our lives, the life, the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to spread the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the whole world. This must become our nature, second nature, and all our qabir we find. This was their nature, sunnah. We should bring it alive. Our Hazrat, you see, every bayan, he'll make something about sunnah, bringing alive the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because this is the key way to success for a person. May Allah give us tawfiq and barakah. Two waqiyas, inshallah. A lot of lessons to it. May Allah give us tawfiq to make amal on it. This is in Surah Sabah, where Allah subhanahu in Surah Sa'd. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions two waqiyas, one of Dawud alayhi salam and one of Sulaiman alayhi salam. And they are very, very great lessons in here. So Allah ta'ala mentions in the Quran that وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ نَبَوَ الْخَصْمِ اسْتَسَوَّرُ الْمِحْرَابِ. Has the incident come to you, arrived, about those two people who were fighting, having an argument, and they came to Sulaiman alayhi salatu was Dawud alayhi salatu was salam, they climbed his wall and they jumped over. And they came where he was, they had a special ibadat khana, they used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Dawud alayhi salatu was salam, he had actually divided his time. One time of his was set aside for spending time with his family members. Another time he had only for the khalis Allah's worship. Only Allah, nobody was coming to the mihrab in the ibadat khana of his, only for Allah's worship. Then a third special time he had was to all the matters of the government, to all anybody fighting, arguments, court cases, etc. He used to sort out all those matters. So the one day he used to spend now completely in the worship of Allah Ta'ala in complete khalwat and solitude. Nobody was allowed to come there. So one day while sitting in there, suddenly he finds some people have jumped over the wall. It was a high place, they had a cart standing outside, and now somebody jumps inside, somebody has come to him, standing by him. So he got very, very frightened. Who's this person? Some other makhluk of Allah, angels, what has happened? Who are these people here? Where did they get their strength? How come the guards didn't see them? All of these thoughts are coming through his mind. So anyhow, while he's still speaking to them and asking them, all his yaksui, now his ibadat, his mind turned away from his ibadat, and he turned towards these people. Is dakhalu ala Dawuda, when they came to Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, fafazi'a minhum. Dawud alayhi salam got frightened. Qalu la takhaf, they said, don't fear. There's nothing to worry about, there's nothing to fear. Khasmani, we are two people who are having an argument. Fagha ba'duna ala ba'din, one of us has been zulam on the other one. So we've come to you, you must pass judgment here. Fahkum bainana bil haqq. You pass fesla amongst us with haqq, the truth, proper. This is also actually bi'adabi. You go to your ustad and tell him, you know what, we've got a problem here, but you make sure you pass decision with the truth. See, so from here, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah, he says that for the people who are above, those who are amirs in charge, they must learn how to make sabr also. The people under them, as one day mentioned also, he says that if that person was clever as you, he wouldn't be working under you. He should have been your boss. See, Allah is very, he doesn't think so well, he makes mistakes, foolishness he does. That's why he's under you. So a person must learn how to overlook. So you are this person also, what big, a lot of bi'adabi, fahkum, you must make sure you judge with haqq. Wala tushtit. Don't make zulam upon us, don't exceed the bounds. وَهَدِنَا إِلَىٰ سَوَىٰ إِسْتِرَاطِ Guide us to the straight path. So now they started explaining that إِنَّ هَذَا أَخِي, this is my brother, my Muslim brother. He got 99 animals, he was sheep, and I got one, وَلِيَ نَعْجَةُ وَاحِدًا. فَقَالَ أَكْفِنِّيَا, he told me, you know what, you got 99, give me that one also. وَأَذَنِي فِي الْخِطَابِ, he was very, very good, he overpowered me in speech. He's an expert, he can speak. And I don't know how to answer him. So Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam, anyhow, he heard the whole story on both sides, and then he decided to pass Faisla, and he passed Faisla. And he said, he told the one brother, you know what, you have made zulam and oppression, but how could you have asked your brother to join his to yours? It's completely wrong. And he says, وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْخُلَطَاءِ لَيَرْغِي بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَقَلِيلٌ مَّا هُمْ. Many, many people who have partnerships, they make zulam upon one another. Except those who have got iman and amal as-salihah. Those who have got ta'aluk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are very, very few amongst them. So here also, this is one thing which is, we should be very, very particular about this. Allah give us tawfiq. Shuraka, shariq, shirkat, have partnership. We have partnership in our homes. A husband has partnership with his wife. When she comes into the house, she brings many, many things. And you have partnership in the house with your wife. So our Kabir mentioned, especially, we also learned this from him, we should be very, very particular about our matters. It's a famous thing in Arabic, the ta'asharuk al-ajanib. Ta'asharuk al-ikhwan wa ta'amaluk al-ajanib. Learn like brothers, but your dealings you must do like strangers. It can be your brothers also. And Hazrat mentioned in his kitab on Miras, he's got a whole long surah in the form there. The example is, a father is working, now his one son comes in the shop. Second son comes in the shop, he's working, helping the father, the business is expanding. The third son decides, you know what, the first and second son had to come in the shop, there was nobody to help the father. But the third son, now he's got more free time, and the shop is doing well. He goes to university, he studies, he becomes a lawyer. Fourth son goes, he studies, he becomes a doctor. And now they're carrying on working every day, everybody eating from the same pot. The father is, whatever the expenses the person got, he got married, his father gave him, he's sitting in a house, they all got little bit. Now it happens that the father passes away. Now the whole business was his. Now all the four brothers are sharik immediately in that estate. Now the other two brothers, the younger brothers, they already got their own businesses. One is a lawyer, one is a doctor. They're making so much of money that side. These two are working in the shop. All their lives they gave to the shop. They got no other investments. Now Sharia says 25% for everybody. Now those brothers feel, the two big elder brothers, that Sharia is unfair to me. This is because our muamalat and our dealings were not correct in the first place. It's very, very important. Before, from the time, from the starting, and Hazrat says also that many people say that, you know what, why must you spoil the pots? Why are you causing trouble here? If you follow Sharia, there is no causing of trouble. Maybe outwardly it might seem a bit harsh, but eventually the final result, there will be a lot of muhabbat and love, and they will all be kept there. Otherwise today we find so many families, just because of that money and inheritance. And actually as soon as a person passes away, the first thing which has to be done after he is buried is the inheritance. You must get together, brothers, sisters, parents, whoever it is, they must sit together and they must discuss the matter of inheritance. Because now every single person has got a haq in there. If one person is working in the shop, and he's carrying on working in the shop for 2-3 months, he's making zulam upon the other people. He's oppressing them. He's taking away their haq and their rights. And most of the time it happens with sisters. The sisters are oppressed very, very severely in this year. And a zulmu zulmatun yawm al-qiyamah. We talk about Americans making zulam on people. These people are making zulam. And the kuffar are making zulam. But we're making zulam in our own families. And then the sisters are crying, we want our inheritance money. And the person is not giving that money, because why? He's getting some benefit in there. And how can I give so much? What do these sisters know about money? Give them 100,000, 200,000, make them happy. And then the whole matter is finished. So completely zulam and oppression is being done here. And all the earnings the person has got is haram now. Now every year he's going for Hajj, Umrah, he's thinking I'm making so much of ibadah. But in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that eating is haram, his drink is haram. How can his du'as be accepted? So this matter of inheritance also must be sorted out clearly. Similarly, our Buzurg say, in our homes, all our items in the house must be separated clearly. Every person must know exactly, the wife came in the house, this is exactly what she had brought, this is hers, this is mine. It must be completely separated, every person must know. Now what it happens, now only happens, the wife comes in the house, the husband says, I'm buying a fridge for you, he buys the fridge. Now is it hers, or is he just buying it for her to use it? Now say for example, he passes away. Now will it be the inheritance of the man, or will it be the wife's? Many times the husband and wife, they're working together, and now the husband is buying a house, 200,000, 300,000, that was in the past, the man is 1 million rand. So the wife got 300,000, and she tells the husband, yeah, use 300,000, he put 700,000. So according to shirkat, according to the masla, 30% is hers, 70% is his. But if they made a deal, if she just gave it to him, was it a hiba, was it a gift, or did she give it to him to take a portion of the house? Now if the husband passes away, next month he passes away. See, now 1 million rand house, she only gets one eighth of the house. So she'll get 100,000, 120,000. She'll see, Sharia is not fair. I put 300,000 in the house. I'm supposed to get my 300,000 back plus extra amount. Now it's not fair. But because our dealings are not straight, are not clear, Mufti Sharif rahmatullahi was very particular at the time. Once he was in last sickness, very sick, so they brought a glass for him. He drank the water and he left it. He told his son, take it back into the kitchen. So his son delayed it, but he got very, very upset. His son said, it's not a big thing, it's just one glass, put it back in the kitchen. And Hazrat said, no, in my wasiyat, in my will, it's written there that whatever is in the kitchen is your mother's. So if this glass is here, it will come, somebody might think it's mine, it's part of my inheritance, whereas it's not mine, it's part of your mother's possession. That's why I don't want anything to be extra out of the place. So they were so particular, every single thing in the house, they knew exactly, there was proper division of it. Which is, doesn't mean now you have to be harsh or whatever. I mean, anybody can use it. It doesn't mean the wife must come ask the husband every time, I want to use one glass in the house, I want to use one cup. No, it is open permission. But at least you must know, it must be defined exactly in our houses, whose is what? What property, what does the husband own? The car. Sometimes we put it on the wife's name. We just write it there. For tax purposes, the person puts it on the wife's name. But the object is the husband's car. But he got it there now. Now Islamic world must be written exactly in our homes. We must have at least some paper written there. All of these things clearly prescribed. Because this person is saying that most people when it comes to shirkat, partnership, they make zulm upon one another. Except إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, a person has got iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he does good actions. And وَقَلِيلٌ مَعْهُمْ, there are very, very few people like this here. That is why in most cases there is so much of ill feelings, so much of fighting. And in pious families we hear about these things. And how much of hatred there is after the day. Hazrat mentions they are prepared to go to a Jewish lawyer. They are not prepared to give their own sister 20,000, 30,000. They'll go to the Jewish lawyer, give him 100,000 then to sort out the 20,000 then. See, with all the money they are raised by that guy, no problem. But my sister, I can't give her the 20,000 then. I'm not sure her point. And then brother and sister are not speaking to one another for the next 20 years, 30 years. They leave the world in this condition here. And where is the person's amal going to be accepted? He's broke family ties. So may Allah give us tawfiq. Listen to this matter, we should be very, very particular. Our deen is not only confined to namaz and zakat and roza and hajj and finish, but our mu'amalat also is a very, very important part of our deen. Because many times the person's amal are completely destroyed because of this here. The person is eating haram. Mufti Shirizab rahmatullah has mentioned that as soon as a person passes away, as soon as we pass away, that money in actual fact what happens is it comes out of our possession and goes in the possession of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now Allah ta'ala redistributes it. So Allah ta'ala said, okay, right, for you is 1/8, for you is 1/4, for you is 1/5. So that means Allah is giving a person this amount. So if you're taking that amount away from that person, that's stealing. Like how we think a crook came to my house and stole the jewelry. The same, exactly, you've stolen the other person's haq. That is why it's not even correct and permissible for a person to tell his sister, isn't, you don't want this here. Okay, you make it maaf. No, you must give it. The ulama say you must give it to her. Then she says, I make it maaf. Then it's a different story. Everybody, before that, they feel shy. Everybody saying, I'm making my haq maaf. So that sister will also feel shy. She says, okay, I also make my haq maaf. People, brothers will say, you don't make it, I'm making maaf for this year. And she'll feel shy now. She'll say, no, I'm also making maaf. Because people will tell her, no, put it in her hands. Then if she got that love and affection, she wants to give it. And then we find nobody gives it after the day. Before that, everybody will say, they feel shy. And the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا يحل مال امرئ إلا بطيب نفس منه. The money of a person is not halal unless the person is happy. He happily gives. So much so, Buzuru says, for example, a person goes for chanda. He goes to collect money for a madrasa. And now he puts bojh upon a person. The person gave 500 and happily, there will be barakat in that money. But he tells the person, only 500 and look at this other man, give me 1,000 then. He's your neighbor. Now you feel shy. Now out of the shyness, you're giving that other 500 then. That money is not halal for that person. Because he put that bojh upon you. And you were not happy, you're not happy you gave it. And there's no barakat after that in that day. So we think we're making so much of money, we got so much, but there's that burden force upon that person. So there won't be barakat in that day. And when a person gives with ikhlas and sincerity, Allah will definitely accept it. Once, one person, Ali from Bangladesh was here. So, somebody gave him a little bit of money for his madrasa. He gave him a bit of money. So he said, Ma, Hazrat, so it's such a small amount. So he said, no, this amount is very, very big. He said, he gave any amount with ikhlas and sincerity. In the sight of Allah Ta'ala, they've got a lot of value. Then he said one story. He said that Hazrat Anu Rahmatullah had one Khalifa. And he was in Bangladesh. So what he used to do, if they were building, for example, a big madrasa, they were having some, whatever. So he used to give bayans in very, very poor villages. So he used to go there in the village and take out his topi and send his topi around. And tell the people, put whatever money you want inside here. This is for the madrasa. Now for example, in the madrasa, you need 1 million rupees or 10 million rupees. Nowadays, in that whole jamaat, because they're poor people, they'll come with 1,000 rupees, 2,000 rupees. Whereas you go to a rich person, one sitting, he'll give you 10,000 rupees, 20,000 rupees. And then you're getting the whole amount, and you're getting 2,000 rupees. And that is why you're going through so much of difficulty, so much of zahmat, so much of trying to get wasted, you're getting so little bit of money. Hazrat said, you see, these people are poor people. There's a class in sincerity in their hearts. If they give 1 rupee also worth sincerity, and Allah has accepted that 1 rupee or 2 rupees, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives 2 rupees. That madrasa costs 2 million rupees. Because this 1 rupee is accepted, Allah will pull all the other 2 million rupees from somewhere else to me, because this 1 year was accepted. And Allah will accept the whole madrasa because of the day. So he said, this is the value of ikhlas and sincerity. So the money which is given with tibia nafs, happiness of the heart, Allah has put barakat and blessings in the day. So may Allah give us tawfiq. Then in these matters, in our mu'amalat, in our business dealings, we should be very, very particular, especially in matters of inheritance. Because unfortunately today, it's very, very common. The Mufti, the main stories, if you ask them, you go to the Darul Ifta, it's either the two fields they are experts in, talaq and inheritance. So many talaqs. Went to Saudi Arabia now, they say, every year, how many nikahs taking place? Half the number is talaqs. If there are 1,000 nikahs, 500 talaqs are taking place every year. So it shows how much in the ummah, unfortunately, because we have gone far from the tariqah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So anyhow, he mentioned this point here. Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam passed the first law, he made a decision. And after he made a decision, he realized and his thought came to his mind that, you know what, I made a mistake here. Allah ta'ala tested me here. So and then after he made istobah, istighfar to Allah ta'ala, he turned his attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asked Allah ta'ala for forgiveness. Allah says, we forgave him for this year. Now what was the guna, what was the sin that Dawud alayhi salam had done? The Ambiya alayhi salatu wasalam at such a high level that they don't even make guna, but a slight error, mistake on their side, and Allah ta'ala takes them to task for the day. So teach us a lesson. The tira or muqarrab or close bandas, they have to be very, very particular. A person must be very careful what he says with his tongue, what he utters with his heart, the thoughts which come in his heart. Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, it is mentioned here that Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, his family people, at all the times there was somebody involved in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always. If he wasn't involved, his wife was involved, somebody or the other was involved in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one day, Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, this thought came to his heart. That, you know what, alhamdulillah, that, you know, it's very good that our taqseem is so good, the way we've got all this distribution, and how nice in our house, at every single moment that we are making ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is kind of ujab, just a thought came into his heart, and this is a natural which comes to a person's heart. So he said, oh Allah ta'ala, in my house, that 1 second there is where someone is not involved in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, and Allah Ta'ala said, O Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, this is all because of our tawfiq. If our tawfiq is not there, you will never ever have the ability to do this here, no matter how much you can try. Allah Ta'ala says, I take a qasam by my greatness. One day I'm going to hand it over to yourself. That means I will remove my help. And then you will see whether you'll be able to make ibadah to yourself. Whether your nizam and system will remain properly. So Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam said, O Allah Ta'ala, you must inform me when the day will be. And the same day Allah Ta'ala tested Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam. So imagine this, just a slight thought which came in the heart of Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah Ta'ala tested him to show a person that we must never ever regard anything of our own tawfiq, our own ability. Then Allah Shabir Ahmad Ismaili rahmatullahi says that because what happened Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, no matter how much of intizam he had, nobody must ever come to him, had a high wall, he had a card there, but Allah Ta'ala sent those 2 people there. They came and they spoiled his whole ibadat. He's supposed to be involved in ibadat, but at that moment he was sitting and involved in solving cases, and that wasn't the time. So that means at that moment, nobody was involving ibadat in his house. So Allah Ta'ala showed Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam that, see, if we take the tawfiq away, don't be involved in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person has to be so particular, exactly what we say. Then Allah Mashabir Ahmad Usmani rahmatullahi says that in certain athar it is mentioned, if a banda does any good actions and he says that, oh Allah, I did this work here, oh Allah, I gave sadaqah, oh Allah, I read namaz, oh Allah, I fed people food. So Allah Ta'ala says, I helped you, I gave you tawfiq, I did this, yeah. I did that, yeah. Why are you putting it to yourself? But when a banda says, oh Allah Ta'ala, you helped me, you gave me the tawfiq, it's through your ihsan and your favor that I read namaz, it's through your ihsan and favor I gave sadaqah. Allah Ta'ala says, you know what, you made the amal, you have done this action, yeah. You have earned good rewards, and Allah Ta'ala puts it upon that person. So may Allah give us tawfiq also. See, Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, just because of the small thought came in his heart, and Allah Ta'ala tested him. See, hasanatul abrar siyatul muqaddadin. The Ambiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they do not make gunas in sense. They make minor mistakes. And because of that, Allah Ta'ala reprimands them. It's like, for example, in madrasa, you've got 2 students in your class. One student is very intelligent. He's a very high level. He gets 99 out of 100 in the paper. You get upset with him. How could you have got a 99? What a stupid mistake you make, and you shout him. But he got 99 out of 100. Another student in class gets 50. 51 he gets. He says, MashaAllah, shabash, shabash. I thought you will never pass. I thought you'll get 30. But you got 51. Now he says,
I got 50, that person got 99 is thinking to himself, I got 99 and this guy got 51. And we started praising him and he shouting me. No, because you are clever students. Your level is so high, you're supposed to get 100. I never expected 99 from you. So the Anbiya alayhi wasalam, if we are with the Abrar, do good actions for the Muqarrab, for the close ones, that's a guna for them. Allah says, no, this is wrong for you. Like a clever student, for him doing a 99, for another student, that will be a top mark, the best mark, he'll be so, he'll be praised. But for the Anbiya alayhi wasalam, this is how Allah Ta'ala makes the tarbiyat. And the reason is, Allah Ta'ala wants to teach us that always you must turn our attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please look at these small mistakes. So you also be very, very particular about yourself. That we won't test you in such a difficult way. But remember, do not get this ujjah, do not get this pride in yourself. This can completely destroy you. So anyway, this is one great lesson we learned from this year. And thereafter, Allah Ta'ala mentions one other incident here. After this whole incident happened, Dawud alayhi salam turned to Allah Ta'ala. Immediately Allah Ta'ala says, oh Dawud, we have made you the Khalifa on the earth. Now you must judge with people with justice. Do not follow your desires, otherwise you will go away from the path of Allah Ta'ala. But Allah gave him Khilafat. Why? Because as soon as he made a mistake, he turned his attention to Allah Ta'ala. Adam alayhi salam, as soon as he made a mistake, he turned his attention to Allah Ta'ala. Allah says, Sumash tabahu Rabbu. Allah chose him, give him a higher rank also. So a person will make mistakes, we are human beings. But as soon as you make mistakes, turn to Allah Ta'ala, Allah will increase a person in rank. Allah will give a person great, great bounties. Never that we should get this pride within ourselves. No, now, mashallah, I am niponcha wahe. I have reached a certain level, I am pious, I am good. No, whatever we've got is only the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If tomorrow Allah Ta'ala takes the tawfiq away, I was just reading one article the other day. So one lady in South Africa, at the age of 27, she had an accident. And a very bad accident, she had a brain damage. So anyhow, they thought she won't even love, but anyhow, she managed to love. Now it's 5 years she's been loving. But they say, she says in an article, she says, I forgot how to eat. I forgot how to lift up my hands. I can't lift up my hands also. See, I had to learn how to chew again. So my mouth, I had to learn how to chew again. Because the brain was finished. It had a great effect on the brain. So what we take for granted? Going to the toilet, she said, I can't go to the toilet. I have to wear a napkin. My husband, to my number of stools, he has to physically remove it. He puts on a glove and he removes it. Because I don't know how to, my body can't function. He doesn't know how to take out the stools. The muscles are not there. So how many ni'mas of Allah Ta'ala, we just use them just to take the left up the food from the plate to our mouth. We take it for granted. But these are all the tawfiq of Allah Ta'ala. If Allah Ta'ala didn't give us a tawfiq, we read namaz a little bit extra, we make a little bit extra ibadat, and now this arrogance comes to us. I'm a pious person. Look at those people, they don't even know. Allah gave us a tawfiq. That person there, once Mufti Shafiza rahmatullahi alayhi was going in a car, and one beggar came, and normally sometimes the beggars are also using the money for the wrong way. Ulama say, don't encourage to give them money, rather give them food or something. But anyhow, Mufti Shafiza rahmatullahi took out the money and gave it to him. So Mufti Taqi Usmani sahab asked his father, he said, I don't think this guy is mustaik, he's worthy of getting it. Of getting this, yeah. So Mufti Shafiza rahmatullahi said, that, you know, I also thought of the day. But I thought that if Allah Ta'ala has to work with us like according to the day, that if you are mustaik, you are worthy of it, only I'll give it to you, then you won't get anything at all. Allah, without istihqaq, without us being worthy in the least, but Allah is giving us so much. So how can we ever get this arrogance within ourselves? So whatever we are doing, always attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's only the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Rakib Sa'ad Awamwara Qasim is a famous, he mentioned it here in Azarbal, I remember many years ago, that إِنَّ بَعْضَ الْمُخْتَرِّينَ مِنَ السُّوفِيَّةِ يُنْتِبُونَ كَمَالَاتِهِمْ إِلَى مُجَاهَدَاتِهِمْ وَذَلِكَ عَيْنُ الْكُفْرَانِ. That some of the Sufis who are in deception, they make nisbat and they attribute the kamalat, whatever goodness they do to themselves. I made so much of mujahada. I made this effort. I did this ibadat. I did this because of this. Allah gave me this position today. How much of khidmat I made. وَذَلِكَ عَيْنُ الْكُفْرَانِ. This is complete nashukuri. This everything, the ability to make mujahada also is Allah's tawfiq. I studied like this, yeah. I became hafiz of Quran. It's only Allah's tawfiq. If tomorrow Allah takes it away from a person's mind, the person is nothing at all. What is a person? So all of this we must attribute to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one very, very great lesson. The other incident which Allah Ta'ala mentions immediately after that is of Sulaiman alayhi salam, the son of Dawud alayhi salam, and how he made a slight error, also how he turned his attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What happened was, Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah says, we gave him great, great bounties. And he was a very wonderful banna, ni'am al-abd, innahu awwab. He has this quality, always turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This must be our quality, innahu awwab. So one day what happened was, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, he had a lot of love for jihad. So the horses of jihad were brought before him. And to have love for those things which will assist a person in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, automatically a person must have love for those things also. So before Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam in the evening, some horses were brought, very terrible horses, very high class horses, the best horses, and very, very fast moving horses. They were very, very good. So anyhow, Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, he was looking at them, and his namaz went, at the time of namaz went. He didn't know, and if a person makes a mistake, it comes in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, رفع عن أمتي الخطأ والنسيان. From my ummah, any mistake, any forgetfulness is forgiven. If it happened that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam one namaz, he must, they fell asleep and nobody wrote, as a Bilal radiallahu anhu, they also fell asleep and then they woke up and they did namaz qaza after that. There's no guna, there's no sin for this year. So because a person doesn't purposely do it, as Rakim Sadam Barakatim says, this works for Allah Ta'ala, doesn't work for the wife. You say, Rufi'an Ummati al-Khata'u wa Nisyan, your wife says you must buy one Pepsi for me and you forget it. You say, no, you say, after this, you remember for the rest of your life. You say, you don't forget it there. You say, in the Hatta of Allah Ta'ala, Allah will forget. Allah will say that, after you forgot, I overlooked. You say, but remember your wife, it doesn't work this masala. So now, Dawud alayhi salatu wa salam, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam, he went there and he was looking at this year. This was for Allah, kalimatillah. So much of muhabbat and love he had for this year. And then, after that, he's thinking to himself, the sun set. Now, whether it was a Farz namaz or some ulama said it was a Nafal namaz, but whatever happened, the people were frightened to come and tell him. So they saw Dawud al-Islam so engaged in this, yeah? And he was involved in the very great worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looking at the preparing for jihad, etc. But then Dawud al-Islam realized that, you know what, the sun is set already. And he says, I gave preference to the love of this wealth, it was for the purpose of deen. But I forgot to make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that moment. So Dawud alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam was very, very parashan and he was very, very worried about this year because the muqarrabin, the close bandas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever ibadat is a specific time, you don't go against it there. And if you go against it there, they feel very, very upset about this year. Even there was a uzar, yeah. There was a mistake, yeah. It was ma'azur, it's forgiven. But the close ones to Allah ta'ala, they immediately become parashan and worried about this year. So then Dawud alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam, he called them back. Ridduha aliyah, bring them back to me. فَتَفِقَ مَسْحَمْ بِالسُّوقِ وَالْعَنَابِ He started making qurbaniya for all of them. They were wonderful horses. So there are different meanings, but some, this is one meaning that's taken there. Dawud al-Islam started making masah. He started cutting them by the, on their necks and their feet. That was a way of making qurbaniya of them. So he started cutting all of his horses. And many of them made qurbaniya of them. That look here, I became ghafil because of these horses from my one ibadah of Allah Ta'ala. Like the sahabi, once he was reading namaz and one bird flew in his garden and the thought, his mind went towards the garden. Immediately he goes and he gives the garden in the path of Allah Ta'ala. There's no guna and sin in the day also. But these people, so much of ta'alluq they have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the slightest thing which will take them away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, they regarded it as like a sin. So he gave it away. So Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam also, he gave all of this, he cut all of this with qurbani of them. Then, Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam now to make jihad, he made intention. The Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want my children to become mujahideen. They must go and fight in your path. So he said, he had 100 wives. So he made intention that I will go and have relations with every one of my wife. And with every one of them a child will be born. And every one of them I will put in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he forgot to say insha'Allah. He forgot to say the word insha'Allah. Imagine a speech, how powerful a person's speech can be. And he's a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just because he forgot to say insha'Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once happened to him, he forgot to say insha'Allah, wahi never come down for so many days. According to some narrations, 15 days or 40 days, wahi never come down to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he forgot to say insha'Allah. So because of this year, when he went to his wives, none of them gave birth. None of them got any children besides one, and that child also was, there was a miscarriage. So the child was born incomplete, deformed, the child passed away. So Allah tells us, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّا سُلَيْمَانَ We tested him in tihan, a test. وَلْقَيْنَا عَلَىٰ كُرْسِي جَسَدًا One dead body placed upon his kursi or his chair. Immediately Sulaiman al-Islam realized, I made a mistake. I forgot to say insha'Allah. He turned his attention. Simba Adab. Same like his father, Anab. He turned his attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, he said, call Rabbi Khirli. Oh Allah, please make me maaf. What a sin I've made. What a wrong I've done. This is a small thing. But immediately the Anbiya alayhi salam, small things. We regard themselves as gunegars and sinners. Whereas we do guna upon guna, but the person doesn't regard himself as a gunegar. And he says, oh Allah Ta'ala, now the sons I had, the horses I had also for jihad, both of it I haven't got now because the sons I never got and the horses also I didn't get, I made all qurbani of them. So, Habli Milka La Yam Baghali Ahadi Min Badi, grant me such a badshah which is not munasib and appropriate for anybody after me. You are the one who is the greatest giver. So Allah Ta'ala, in place of that, because remember a person will sacrifice anything for Allah's pleasure, Man taraka shay'an lillahi awwadahu Allahu khayran minhu. Whoever will leave anything for Allah's pleasure, Allah will give him far better than the death. So Allah Ta'ala gave Sulaiman al-Islam. فَسَخَّرْنَا لَهُ الرِّيحَ Allah Ta'ala says, you place the wind under his command. تَجْرِي بِأَمْرِي It used to move with his command. رُخَان Very calm, comfortably, calmly. Not like you could fly in the sky, you frighten, whatever. Calmly. حَيْسُ أَصَابُ Wherever he wanted to go, he went to him. And you put a shayateen. You wanted an army, you put a shayateen under him. The jinnat, normally these are so, they cause trouble against you. You put them under his control. كُنَّ بَلْنَايِ وَغَوَاسِ Building big buildings. Going to the depths of the ocean and taking out all different things. وآخرين مقرنين في الأسفار those who are very very harmful, will cause harm to the people. We put them, we tie them up in chains. هذا أعطاؤنا. We told Dawud al-Sulaiman alayhi salam, this is our favors. From the أو أمسك بغير حساب. What, we won't know حساب for you. You can spend as you want to, you can keep as much as you want to. There's no problem. وَإِنَّ لَهُ عِنْدَنَا لَزُلْفَ وَحُسْنَ مَعَبْ. He's a very, very high rank by us. And in the Akhirah, we've got a very, very high stage for him. So yeah, Allah Ta'ala is also showing us that see, a person will sacrifice anything for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially in today's time, our haram desires. If a person sacrifices it for Allah's pleasure, you think Allah won't give the person much better? How the Anbiya alayhi salam they sacrifice for Allah Ta'ala? They actually sacrifice the halal pleasures. But in today, Allah Ta'ala knows the difficulty, the mujahada a person is making, the sacrifice he is making. As Hazrat Kifta Adam Barakatum, as Hazrat mentioned also. See, that Hazrat says, no need to become parishan. All the women are walking around, the beautiful woman. And the person says, so difficult in today's zamana. Allah is giving a certificate of Iman, free of charge. So many Allah is giving. Allah is giving you the opportunity. So no need to become parishan or whatever. Allah just wants to give a person. So whoever will give up anything for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, definitely, most definitely Allah Ta'ala will give it to him. There's one story which is mentioned in Qari Siddiq's kitab, Ta'alim al-Muta'allim, Adab al-Muta'allim. Adab al-Muta'allim. He mentions of one youngster. He was in Delhi studying, and he was a student in a madrasa. At that time, they never have like our system, a Darul Uloom system. People used to work and then go and study in madrasa. So he worked as an imam, muazzin in a certain masjid. And while working there one day, it was in the middle of the night, and he was making his mutara, studying his kitabs. There was, and one woman was walking past, she was in a certain group, and while going past, a riot broke out. So she fearing for her life, she needed a place to run away to. Immediately she ran into the masjid. She comes into the masjid, and she sees this young boy, sees her, he gets a shock, she's a young, pretty woman. He says, lady, you can't stay here, it's very dangerous, please go out of here. She says, no, I've got no other place to go, my izzat, my estate is at honor here, I can get raped. So many things can happen to me, you can't let me go out from here. It's very dangerous for me. He says, the people will chase me out, they'll kick me out of the masjid, I'll lose my studies, everything I'll lose out. Please go out of here. She says, look, I have to stay at night. I'll stay in one corner until the riots come to an end, then I'll go away. So anyhow, he says, okay, he goes to his studies, he puts her in one corner, he says, you sleep here. Before Fajr, make sure you go out of this place, tahajjud time, before the people come into the masjid. And he's studying, making his mutala, studying his kitab. While he's studying, she can't sleep also. She's so frightened also. She's watching him. He says, when he used to come in the house sometimes, there used to be women folk. So he used to turn his back the other way. He used to be there further. He used to turn his back the other way. So people say, why are you turning your back? He said, why the woman must look at us also? It's not right for the woman to look at us. He says, some woman got this here that our sheikh, we have to look at his face. So on the day of Qiyamah, we can recognize him. So we know exactly where he is. He said, this is Ja'alat. So he used to turn away. So anyhow, and now this woman was looking at him, and she sees him, he's sitting and studying his kitab. And every few minutes he's lifting his head up, and there's a candle there, he's putting his finger in the candle. Taking it out, putting his finger in the candle, taking it out. So anyhow, the whole night passed. Next morning, he wakes up, he says, please go now, go out. So she says, no, I'm not prepared to go, you must tell me why you were putting your finger in the candle, you were doing a very amazing thing. So he says, none of your business, please, rather go, it's nothing to do with you. She says, no, I'm not prepared to go. And any man who is married, you know, if your wife says, I want something, she's not going to move until the thing takes place. So anyhow, she said, I'm not prepared to go. So he realized now, he's in a problem here. If some people start coming in, he'll get in trouble. So he says, you are a young girl, I'm a young boy. Automatically the love and woman, desires for woman will come in my heart. So I saw you sleeping there, and Shaitan came to me, and Shaitan said, you know what, you got what a wonderful opportunity. You can fulfill your desires, nobody will even know about it. She can't lay a claim against you. She came in the masjid. You go there on the side of the corner, you go and do wrong. Nobody can ever catch you out. What a beautiful woman. She looks very, very pretty. Must be a rich family also. Where you get an opportunity like this? So when this thought came to my mind, I thought of the fire of Jahannam. And I put my finger in the candle and I said, oh foolish person, you can't bear the candle of this world. The small fire. The fire of Jahannam is 70 times more severe than the smallest fire in this world. And you can't bear this candle here. What a foolish person you are. So then, again Shaitan came to my mind. And the whole night he came and I kept putting my finger in the fire and thinking about this. Yeah. And for the fear of Allah, I stayed away from that haram, fulfilling my desires with you. She was very, very impressed. She goes back home. She was about to be married. She was proposed. She goes to her parents. She says, I don't want to get married to that person. I want to break off. I want to get married to that person who's in the masjid. Parents started having suspicion now. What? Something had happened with this boy or whatever. Like that. They asked her, what's wrong? What's the whole story? So eventually she told him the whole story. She says, the person who has got the taqwa and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he never oppressed me. He definitely look after me very, 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 very well. He's got Allah in front of him. So where he never oppressed me. So if I get married to anybody, I want to get married to him. So anyhow, then he accepted the proposal, he got married to her. So outwardly it could have been, he could have fulfilled his desire one time in a haram manner. Allah gave it him in a halal manner. And a far better way, Allah gave him with izzat and respect and honor. And Allah Ta'ala gave him so much of wealth and everything, Allah Ta'ala opened up for that person. So in life you will get many, many tests and imtihans. But a person who will pass that imtihan, he will put his attention to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. There will be a test and imtihan. Just remember one incident also of one lawyer. When Zulfikar Sahib mentioned this, yeah, he became dead to him. So he told Hazrat, you know, in our profession, we have to speak a lot of lies. Lawyer, even the word is very similar to it, lawyer, liar. See? So we have to speak a lot of lies. So this is the only way we can make money, and a lot of cases come to us, we have to prove the case. So Hazrat said, it's not correct this year. So the speaker came into his heart that, you know what, I can't speak lies anymore. And he was a very wealthy lawyer. See, whatever money he was earning. So he decided, I'm stopping, I'm not going to speak lies. So now anybody came to him, he would first investigate the whole case. He said, but you know what, by the end of the day, I think you're wrong. You're wrong here. I'm not prepared to take your case. If I stay the case, I'll fight against you. Because I don't think you're right here. So now many, many people were coming to him. They stopped coming to him. Until eventually a time came where he never had one person coming to him also. Even one person. This is a test Allah Ta'ala is giving a person. And in this way, one year passed. One year passed. And imagine a person is going, such a wealthy person is going through such difficulties. After one year, there was a certain message, they were having a problem. And they were in the right. So they came to him and they told him, they told us, well, you see that we got this case and we are in the right. He looked at the whole case and he said, right, you people are in the right, I'll fight this case for you. So after one year, Allah tested him. So now he goes to the court, to the court case. When the judge sees him, the judge says that if this lawyer is coming to fight this case here, he must have made a proper investigation, this person must be on the haq. So without even much of the case listening, he passed the first line in the right of these people. Now when the people heard about this, people, the judges have got so much of respect for this lawyer. So now people who have had rightful claims, they all started coming to him. And how much he was earning before, Allah Ta'ala started giving double that amount. Until eventually he became a supreme judge in the high court in Pakistan. So this is how Allah Ta'ala tests a person. Allah Ta'ala wants to see if a person is genuine. And thereafter Allah will open up for a person. So for Allah's pleasure, whoever will leave anything haram, definitely Allah will give that person the same thing in a halal manner, or Allah will give him something far, far greater than that. In the day, may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability through the teachings of our Kabir, our elders, to bring these qualities into our lives. First we did about the sunnahs of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Our Kabir, how steadfast you are on the sunnahs of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, bringing it alive. And even if our izzat and our respect has to go, but bringing alive the sunnahs of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this must be our izzat and our honor. Just have to end of one last incident. I just remember now, bringing alive the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, izzat and honor. Once there was a person, a famous incident also, he came to the, there was a very famous wrestler. And he was very, very powerful, very, very strong. Nobody could really defeat him. The king had made a challenge, whoever will defeat this wrestler, I will give him so much of money, I'll make him a wealthy person. So many, many people came and they wrestled him, but they could not defeat him. So if, one day one old man comes to him, this man couldn't even walk properly. He comes and he says, I want to wrestle this man. So the people start laughing at him, aren't you going to wrestle this man? So anyhow, this wrestler goes to that, this man, the old man goes to the wrestler and tells him, you know what? But look here, I am a Sayyid, I'm a family of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So for the sake of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I'm very, very poor, I'm in great poverty, I've got nothing at all. If you will let your izzat and your honor go because of the day, then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will be happy with you. And I'll get money and I'm a family of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he thinks to himself and he says, okay. Imagine, you can imagine a person who's got so much of honor, so much of respect. He's the king's main person, the best wrestler in the country. But anyhow, he agrees. And he starts having a wrestling bout. And he's acting now also, this wrestler. And then eventually the old man puts him down. The king is shocked. He says, I don't believe this. Yeah. He must have fallen, slept or whatever. Have a rebound. I'm not prepared. I don't agree with this. Yeah. So anyhow, he starts having again, he's acting, the wrestler is acting. And then eventually he puts him down again, the old man puts him down. So anyhow, the old man wakes up with great honor, respect. This is a disgrace for this man. But because of the izzat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the family of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have to honor him and respect him. He let his own izzat go. That night he sees Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a dream. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that, you know what, you have honored my family member. Allah will honor you until the day of Qiyamah. So eventually he leaves the king's place and he goes out and he becomes Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi. This is the same wrestler, Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi. Allah gave him such izzat today after how many years speak about him. He left his izzat for the izzat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's family. If we will leave our izzat for the izzat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's sunnah, what honor and respect Allah will give us in this world and akhirah. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshaAllah.
اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم فاذكروني أذكركم دل مراه جايك ميدانه tu hi tu ho, aur mere tan mein bajaye ab gil, dard dil ho, ghair se bilkul hi ut jaye nazar, tu hi tu aaye nazar, dekho jidhar, la ilaha illallah. محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفينا مولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله، لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. اللهم لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك. رضينا بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا بمحمد صلى الله تعالى وسلم رسوله ونبيا. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد كلما ذكروا الذاكرون، وصل على سيدنا محمد كلما غفل عن ذكر الغافلون. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث، أصلح لنا شأننا كله، ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين. اللهم إن قلوبنا ونواسينا وجوارحنا بيدك، لم تملكنا منها شيئا، وإذا فعلت ذلك بنا فكن أنت ولينا واهدنا إلى سواء السبيل. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم أصل وارحم وتجاوز واغفر واهدي واهدي لأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم اهدنا واهدي بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى. اللهم اهدي الناس جميعا. اللهم ارزقنا حبك وحب من يحبك والعمل الذي يبلغنا حبك. اللهم اجعل حبك أحب الأشياء إلينا، واجعل خشيتك
أخوفل الشيء عندنا واقطع عنا هاجات الدنيا بالشوق إلى لقائك. وإذا أكررت عيون على الدنيا من دنياهم فأكرر عيوننا من عبادتك. اللهم اجعل نبينا لنا فرطا وهوذا لنا موردا. اللهم اشرنا في زمرتي واستعملنا بسنتي وتوفنا على ملتي واجعلنا من حزبي. اللهم اجعلنا من رفقاء مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا. اللهم نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغيرا. اللهم اشف مرضانا واخف موتانا. اللهم ابتليتنا به من رخاء وشدة فمسكنا بسنة الحق وشريعة الإسلام. اللهم زقنا شهادة في سبيلك واجعل موتنا في بلد حبيبك. اللهم نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك من نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ من نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأنت المستعان وليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. جزى الله عنا سيدنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم وأهله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.